Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Dr. Mary Bottrell. She is a swine veterinarian at Smithfield. Great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're going to talk about animal welfare this morning, and I know from the many veterinarians and producers that I've interviewed over the years that this is a subject that the pork industry takes very seriously. They see it as a moral obligation. And then beyond that, it just makes the pigs more productive as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's all connected. You know, it's the health, the well-being, and the performance. They work together to make you more productive.
But I guess the real sticky part is demonstrating this to consumers, because their concept of welfare is going to be much different than a scientist's or a veterinarian's or even a producer's. What differences have you seen?
My age bracket, you know, everyone grew up on a farm, or grandfather, grandparents had a farm. They had more of an agriculture background. In today's society, such a small percentage of people have an agriculture background, and they really don't understand, you know, what happens. And it's we're seeing that with our employees too. I mean, our new hires, they don't come up from a hog background. We have to take a little more time to explain just kind of basic animal husbandry skills.
How do you go about doing that to consumers, though? Because it's one thing to do it for employees, you can have employee training programs, but how do you bring this message to consumers and demonstrate that what you're doing at Smithfield and at all your contract farms is in the best interest of the animal?
We've adapted the Common Swine Industry Audit. Many producers in the United States are using it. And it's a systematic approach to evaluating the environment and the health and the well-being of the animals and how they're cared for. We also have auditors. We have 10 full-time staff members which audit farms and just verify, you know, check behind people, trust but verify that they are doing as they say, and they'll go and look at the body condition scoring, look for any lesions or wounds, make certain that animals are fed and cared for. In addition to that, we bring in some external auditors just for third-party verification. They help validate our program and, you know, and ensure to our customers and consumers that we're doing what we say we're doing.
Now, consumers are getting very particular about where their food comes from and how it's raised. So, I mean, we can, in the industry, can talk about audits, and that's a powerful tool. But again, what can we tell consumers, what can we demonstrate to them that that pig welfare is really high on our list and that we're not just crowding them into buildings for the sake of efficiency?
Well, I think we've kind of put our money where our mouth is. We went to group cell housing for estating animals. So the animal was brought out of the farrowing house. She's put into a stall. She's bred there. We do a pregnancy check. And then when she's confirmed pregnant, we move into a group housing situation. And that was all of our company farms were converted in 2017, but that's a commitment we made. And it was not an inexpensive endeavor. And it took some additional training of our people. It just, you know, it was we learned, we got better on how to handle that type of system and how to manage the animals in that environment. Anytime you make a change, you kind of have to figure out what's the best way to do it. But that was something that our customers and consumers said that they wanted, so that's something that we provided.
And it's one thing to do that in the breeding herd because it's more consolidated, but when you're dealing with dozens or hundreds of contract growers that are spread out for hundreds of miles, how do you maintain that commitment to animal welfare across the board on all these different farms?
A lot of training. We spend a significant amount of time training, you know, company employees as well as contract growers and their employees. But each farm has got a production specialist assigned to it, and they're visiting the farm once a week, once every 2 weeks. And they go through and we have a standardized site visit, a service report, and there are key things that they need to check and look. We also have we have a hotline. We call it a hotline. But if anyone ever witnesses abuse or neglect, they can anonymously call into Smithfield, and our animal care coordinator, she'll be out there. We try to get there just as soon as possible, usually within 24 hours. Audit the farm. Sometimes I've been asked to participate in that. And then we also are third-party auditors. That's something I'll give them credit for. They'll drop everything and try to get out there just as soon as possible and see what care and condition the pigs are receiving.
Let's talk a little bit about pain mitigation, because that's very important to the welfare of the animal. And, you know, two practices that are common in the United States are tail docking and castration. What are you doing to try to make pigs more comfortable in that procedure?
So we've got Smithfield has a science and technology group. They do research, and that is something that they're working on right now, looking at different alternatives to mitigate pain. And there's been a lot of research done on tail docking, and I know it looks bad to see tail docking, but it looks worse when you see tail biting. I mean, it can be really pretty cruel. So we feel it is necessary to dock those tails. And we've switched square footage. We've done trials where we tried different square footage. And unfortunately, it still happens. We give our pigs more square footage today. That's something that has changed through the years than we used to. But this, unfortunately, the tail docking, it's still necessary.
One of the ironies in the whole animal welfare discussion is that a lot of consumers who express concern about how pigs are raised are also the same ones that are saying, well, we shouldn't be using antibiotics in all these pigs, seemingly forgetting that these animals get respiratory and enteric diseases just like humans do. What is your company doing to, again, draw that line to address consumers' concerns about antibiotic usage without compromising the welfare of the animal?
So there are certain products that, you know, are of human health significance that we don't even use. And the nice thing about being an integrated product, we own all the pigs. So the veterinarians get together and we call it our medication treatment chart, but we decide what products we're even going to make available in the first place. And then we have instructions for how to use it in timing and dosage. So we can really control what our pigs are treated with, and we certainly try to use them judiciously. You know, I always tell my people, okay, if the pigs develop a diarrhea or a scour, you can treat it, but the next step is, are they warm? Are they dry? Are they draft-free? We've got to investigate why. And we use a lot of alternative, other than antibiotics. We've used a lot of apple cider vinegar just to try to change the microbe of the GI tract. So we're always looking for alternatives to antibiotics. And we do, that's another thing, we do report our antimicrobial use in our sustainability report. So, but you're right, consumers are concerned about that. So. We're doing all we can to try to reduce the amount we need.
So with all the pressure that is on pork industry and other food animal production industries today to reduce antibiotic usage, where do you draw the line? Because you're a veterinarian. You took an oath to make sure that this animal is not suffering in any way. Are there thresholds that you have in place? Where do you say, yes, this pig does indeed need to be treated?
Certainly. I think it would be against my oath and wrong to not treat an animal in need. I mean, if it needs treatment, we have a moral obligation to take care of that animal.
So now, in summary, I think a lot of people would say, well, Smithfield is a big operation. They have more people. They have more resources. They're in a better position to try to exercise all these different programs. What can mid-sized producers learn from your experience?
The principles are still the same, right? I think a mid-sized producer could certainly follow the same protocol or procedures we have from a welfare standpoint. And if their health would permit them, they could try, you know, the antibiotic reduction as well. Just they have to have more than one market channel available.
And what would be their message to consumers? What do they need to tell people in their own community about what they're doing to maintain a high level of welfare?
That's part of the problem. We've done a poor job of telling our story. You know, people drive by a hog farm and it's a mystery. They don't know what's going on in there, so they imagine things that are quite often wrong. And because of biosecurity, we don't want to invite everyone into a hog farm. So I just think we do need to tell our story that we care about our animals, that we're trying to take good care of them and they perform better. And they also, you know, a healthy hog makes a healthy product as well.